Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is a wonderful, balmy 37 degrees out there, Scott. Balmy 37 degrees. It is, I got to pull up the phone here. It's November the 2nd.
It is.
Can you believe that? Saturday morning, November the 2nd. We are delighted to have you tune in to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. During the week, it's very easy to find us at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our retail locations, the store nearest you, the maps of how to get there, store hours, Scott's email address, Marshall and Susie's email address down in Columbia, Ryan's email address in Duncan, David Rockhill, Jason and Aiken,
Manny in Charleston?
Yeah.
David in Somerville?
David in Somerville. Man, there's a lot of them. There's seven of them, folks. Seven locations in the great state of South Carolina for you to be able to get out there and take advantage of a little bit of knowledge. Excuse me. Yeah, a little bit of knowledge and a lot of product. How about that? From anything and everything that that you may need in the landscape. We're kind of your one-stop and shop, and we'd love to have you stop by the store during the week. We are open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and today, Saturdays, from 8 to noon. And no, we're not going to roll back the store hours early, so we're not going to get an extra hour of store being opening today. But we will get an extra hour of sleep tonight, right? Yes, an extra hour of sleep. I can finally perhaps catch up. Try to catch up. What do you say? The format of the show was very simple, folks. We appreciate you all listening. We really, really do. But we really especially appreciate those who participate. If you'd like to participate today with the Yard Pro Show live on Saturday, November the 2nd, it's very simple. You can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. That's 71307. If not, we will be glad to give you a long, drawn-out dissertation of some awesome things like nitrogen sources and how they react in soil and environment and make your plants grow. I don't know. We'll come up with something crazy like that. But you know what? There's one person, Scott, who doesn't want us to go into that lengthy dissertation. That would be Mike in Greer, because he called us before the show even went on the air. I think he has a very pertinent question that's a good hot topic that we'll probably talk about today and maybe even next week. But let's go straight to Mike. Hello, Mike, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I do have a little bit of a dilemma, and there's probably no good answer. But my fescue got seeded here and seems to be doing pretty good, but I feel like there's a few spots that are a little thin and some that got missed. Well, now we're going to have this big old avalanche of leaves come down, and you can't leave them there. Some will be dry, I guess, this week, and then they might be wet, you know, next time it starts raining. But what do I do? Do I throw out seed, and then hopefully when I either mow or get the leaf blower out that I don't disperse it, or do I wait until after all the leaves are done?
You're in a catch, Mike, kind of like I am. You know, I finally mowed the backyard. Scott's looking at me funny.
Like, wait a minute, you already did your yard.
Yeah, I did my yard, what, a month and a half ago. And the backyard, front yard looks great, fantastic. Backyard, there were a few areas, just a really tough, hard pan. Seed germinated, but it's real spindly, and it's kind of the corners where it's a little bit darker, a little more shade during the day. And the seeds there, it's just, you know, the little seedlings are trying to grow, but they're real spindly, just not real thick and full. And I'm contemplating the same thing, Mike. You know, what do I do? I'm inclined to say put a little bit more seed out now, because if you wait until after the leaf drop, and man, what a great lead-in, by the way, Mike. For our current soil temperatures in upstate South Carolina right now as we sit today in the studio are 48 degrees this morning. Our 24 average is 55. Our 5-day average was 64. So we can see, you know, our 5-day average has dropped by 9 degrees. We can see what a week of, or not even a week, but 2 or 3 days of being in the 30s will do to our soil temps. They lower them very quickly. My fear is that soil temp is the average, the 5-day average is going to drop drastically, approaching 51, somewhere in that neighborhood by the end of next week. And by the time the leaves are gone, I think your five-day average is so cold that you're just not going to have, you know, really good germination. I think we're quickly running out of good soil temps to germinate seed. And if you're going to try it, I believe I would try it now. Now, what I would do is avoid mowing those areas. And, you know, the only way I would suggest you blow the leaves off that area is, like you said, in the middle of the day, here in the next day or two, maybe even the day, we'll see some leaves drying out, especially those on the surface. I think if you take the blower, you know, throttle it down pretty low, you can lightly blow those really dry leaves off the top without disturbing seed. But anything you can do to keep from disturbing the seed, the longer the better.
Okay, that really does answer my question pretty thoroughly, because I was going to ask about the temps also. In the past, and I think right now even, I have thrown out some seed on, like you said, the hard pan clay soil that we have here. Does it help to, like, scratch up the dirt, or is that really necessary, or can we just throw that out and try to keep it wet?
On the hard pan area, I would definitely till as much as you can.
Yeah. And till, meaning loosen the soil. I mean, if it's a smaller area, you don't necessarily have to get the tiller out and go till it deep. But if you can take a steel-tined rake or something of that nature, or a pitchfork, and drive it into the ground, maybe fluff it up a little bit. The more soil contact and loose soil contact you have, the more likely you are to get it to germinate quickly.
Okay, because in some of the spots where I've actually done that, it seems like I'll throw a light dusting or sprinkling of water on it, and it's right back to where it was, hard pan, in like a day. So it's my soil, I guess. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, at some point you may want to take a shovel in those areas and dig it deep. And you're right, it's probably compacted really deep and not a lot of organic matter in that area. So the deeper that you can prepare that soil, the better off you're going to be.
Okay. Does gypsum really seem to help?
Yeah, you know, gypsum can help drastically. Now, here's the deal with gypsum. You can't apply it just over the top and expect it to incorporate itself with the soil and keep it more pliable over time. If you're going to use gypsum, it's a product that needs, you know, if you're going to use it, gypsum for the in the case of, hey, I want it to help keep the soils a little bit looser, a little bit more pliable, then you're going to have to incorporate that gypsum into the soil some way.
Okay. Because I just threw it out and it didn't seem to have any, much of an effect either. So, all right. Well, thank you for all your valuable information. I'm going to give that a shot and hope for the best.
Sounds great. Thank you. Have a great weekend, Mike.
Hey, you too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Scott, you know, great question to kind of kick it off. Great caller to kick it off. We really appreciate Mike. A lot of things going on. The seasons are changing very quickly. I got an update. You know, I always talk about my little fancy-dancy smart irrigation time clock. Several years mm-hmm. ago, I got it and raved about it. I got an update, an email. It says, you know, due to the seasonal changes, we have made updates for your irrigation needs within your lawn. I got that this week.
Oh.
I got it the day after the storms. You know, we got a little bit of rain.
We
Some
did.
Of us got a lot of rain.
We did get a lot of rain.
Right? Some got a little bit. So real quickly, before we jump on to the next caller, Scott, I would like to talk a little bit. Give me that drum roll. It is your weekly South Carolina Drought Monitor update. Now, keep in mind, folks, this was released on Thursday, but the valuations and data are all taking on Tuesday of every week. So this was prior to the front coming through. So prior to that, updated on Thursday, but before we had all the rain, we were about the same, 77.62% of the great state of South Carolina, still under some form of drought. It's amazing. I've been out in the public. I say that like I'm staying in the house all the time or something. But around the public this week, I've heard a few conversations, just overheard them, non-related, not in the store. I'm talking just out in general. And I forget where it was recently, but I heard a young boy and their father talking about the drought. Well, are we in some kind of drought or something, Dad? Because I hadn't seen rain in a while. And the dad was like, well, I'm not really sure we are. And I really wanted to butt in and say, yeah, we've been in a drought for quite a while. Hopefully next week we'll see a little bit of downturn. But Greenville County, Anderson County, you're still in that D3 extreme drought. A little bit in lower Richland County, it appears, still in extreme drought. A good majority of the state is either in severe drought D2 or D1 moderate drought. And that is 77% of the great state, almost 80 or 78% of the great state of South Carolina in some form of drought. So hopefully this rain had some impact across the state, and hopefully we'll get more rain as things progress in the next week or two. Because, Scott, I'm really worried about having drought-stressed grass, cold weather behind it going dormant. What kind of havoc could that potentially wreak on some of these plants through the winter? So, you know, only time will tell, folks. We will see. Scott, we're going back to the phone lines. We have Mary in Salem. Hello, Mary, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Well, hello. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. Okay, I have a question on two plants, Mandevilla and Creeping Jenny. Will they overwinter outside, or do I need to bring them in, or what?
Scott, what's your thoughts?
You could bring them inside. They'll still live outside, but in this zone, they're going to be like a deciduous plant. So they're going to drop their leaves. They'll hard and come back next year. But if you could bring them inside, then they will stay evergreen.
Yeah, I think. What's that?
Just leave them outside, and they will come back next year.
Yes, in this zone, they will. Down toward the coast, they'll stay evergreen. But up here, they'll be like a deciduous plant.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You've helped me a lot. And you guys, I just appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. You know, Scott, and that's one of the things to remember, too. Some of these plants that were kind of on the border of where they overwinter, where they won't. There's a few things you need to keep in mind.
Bless you.
First, I need to take a sneeze. sorry about that, folks. But there's a few things to keep in mind about these plants that are a little more sensitive that may or may not make it through the winter.
Bless you again.
Thank you. They always come in pairs.
Yes.
Always in pairs. Sometimes triplets. But normally pairs. These plants are a little bit on the border. There's a couple things that go through my mind. Number one, are they in a pot or are they in the ground? If they're in the ground, they typically have a greater chance of survivability. If you're in a pot, then you're up exposed. That pot can freeze. If that pot's too big to move inside, as crazy as this sounds, when it gets really cold and you want to protect those plants in the pots, go wrap some blankets a day or two ahead of time, not 8:30 the night of. A day or two ahead of time. That way, anything that the sun heats up, that solarization, that blanket will help insulate and hold that pot. If you can at least move those pots to somewhere that's a little more protected, maybe it's out of the prevailing winds, things of that nature, keep it in a protected area, much better. I know I had Creeping Jenny in a big pot in the front, and it actually does fairly well through the winter. But I will say this, it's kind of underneath the eave of the house, up against the house. It probably gets some radiated heat at night coming from the house. It's a little bit more protection. So think about where the plants are as well out in the landscape. And you need to think about that when you plant these plants that are a little more sensitive. Where are we planting them? And if I'm planting them somewhere where they're open and exposed, maybe I plant them in a pot small enough that I can bring them in during the winter. Like a Mandevilla, you could prune that back pretty drastically, bring it in, stick it in the garage. Warm, sunny days, stick it out in the driveway.
Crawl space, throw it under there.
Yeah. So, but a great question, and we really appreciate that, Mary, from Salem. We're going to stay with the phone line, Scott. Some more folks have found us at 1-800-347-1063. We'll stay there. It's Banks. Lake Murray area, South Carolina, has a question about centipede. Good morning, Banks, and welcome to the Yard Pro.
Hey, good morning. Very much enjoy the show and appreciate your advice in advance. I've got centipede on my yard down by the lake, and I had some riprap installed. Bobcat tore up the yard, and the contractor offered to put down some winter rye or fescue or something that thrives in the wintertime. And so obviously I've got a strip going down my yard and all along the lakeside where they tore up the grass of that winter grass. What's the best strategy starting now for getting centipede back in those areas and getting rid of the other grass?
Scott, what's your thoughts there?
It's okay. Ryan, so maybe,
just wondering if I should sod over it or if I should till it out.
I mean, in Lake Mary, you could do that right now.
Yeah, you're getting a little bit late, but you still got some time.
Yeah. Up here,
even,
I would say.
Even if it's in the spring.
You said it's on a bank?
No, sir. It's just in my yard.
Just in your yard.
Flat area?
Yes, sir.
I'd pull the trigger and go ahead and do it.
Would you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Or if it's really bad, put some ryegrass in that area right there that's tore up, and then come back next May and then resod it.
Okay, so sodding instead of tilling it up and seeding?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to till up and seed, this time of the year you're kind of locked into sod because you don't have time. The soil temperatures are so cool, you just don't have time, or you're probably not going to get the centipede to germinate. So sodding is, if it's a small area, half a pallet, even up to two pallets, if it's important to you, sod it. I think you still have time to – you may even see a little bit of root activity and get it to tack in a bit before old man winter really gets here. But sodding could be certainly an option right now. If you wait till May, then, yes, you have the option of seeding. And if it's fairly flat, you can be successful seeding. It just takes a little bit of time. When we seed a centipede field, we're talking, 5, 6, 7, 8 months before that centipede field is ready to harvest. We talk about growing seasons more at the farm, and, normally when you get centipede sod, it's at least one growing season old. So if we seed it late in the summer, we may not harvest it until mid to late summer the next year. That way it has a full growing season.
That makes sense. It's a good 100-yard strip, 100 yards long by – maybe 10 feet wide. So it's a significant portion.
Yeah, that is. And if from a cost perspective, yes, seeding is going to be less expensive on the front end material perspective. So that may be a good option for you. But at the same token, we're talking all summer to get that to grow in. If you start early, we're talking about the end of the summer, you'll have it grown in without a doubt. But you also got to weigh out, okay, what am I spending on labor? What am I spending on water? What am I spending on my time? And all that good stuff. So, either way, I think would work.
Great. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Scott, the good old centipede, the grass that keeps ticking, we still sell a good bit of it. Centipede in St. Augustine. And we're talking about the Midlands and below listeners, from the Midlands to the Low Country. Still a great grass. The big thing you have to remember with the centipede and the grasses like that, now the soil temperatures have dropped cool enough now, I think the threat of large patch is quickly dissipating on us, okay? But that's the big issue with those grasses, especially centipede is large patch, especially St. Augustine is large patch in the fall of the year, and it can flare back up in the spring of the year. So if you have those lawns, be aware of that. Be on the lookout for that. Hopefully you got your fungicide out earlier, a month and a half ago and protected yourself. And if you didn't, you may see a little bit of large patch in the spring. Be in tune with the lawn as things begin to green up. And also realize things like centipede and St. Augustine, just because they have a few warm days in February, don't think because you grass it and green it up 100% solid that you got a problem, okay? The soils have to get really, really warm for those two varieties to really start growing and turn green and look nice. So, Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines real quick. We have Lucy in Greenville. Good morning, Lucy, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, guys, and I'm like Mary. I do appreciate you guys, and y'all are the one thing that keeps my living yard man and I on the same page. So you're saving a 48-year marriage and keeping tranquility going every weekend. Okay, the first caller, we're having the same issue with our fescue. Is it too late? Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We're here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My husband's been using the Turf Builder lawn soil where he's been spot seeding, but does he need to try to mix that into the existing soil before he seeds it?
If it were me, I would.
Okay.
And here's
just
why.
Take like a hoe and break up the existing soil and then put the topsoil over it and then seed it.
Yeah, or and actually take the hoe again once you put the topsoil over it and blend that together with the native soil. That is your best way. So kind of mix it up. You know, the deeper the better. And the biggest reason we do that, Lucy, is we take, you know, topsoil in a bag, which, you know, was a lot of organics, some sand, who knows what's in it, depending on the manufacturer. But the properties of that soil is totally different from the properties of the red clay in upstate South Carolina. And if we layer one upon another, now we're just creating this layering effect, and we're going to have an issue with percolation of water, nutrients, and everything.
Right.
So we need a uniform blended profile in that root zone. And the root zone on a good, you know, fescue lawn is at least 2 to 3 inches deep and could be, you know, depending on how you maintain it, could be up to 6 inches deep.
Right. Okay. Okay, and real quick, because I don't want to take up too much time, my neighbor did crepe myrtle murder, and I want to help them any way I can. Is it too late, or is the damage already done?
The damage is done right now, but as you manage and prune that tree for the next couple of years in its growing cycle, don't do it again, and try to be a little more selective in choosing some central leaders. You go back to, you know, let it flush out, choose some central leaders, maintain those, and prune everything else off the side.
Okay, well,
that.
He took the whole, he went, it was huge, and he just, it's like, he went all the way down to, like, it's now 6 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
From being 12 feet tall.
Oh, yeah, so.
Should he fertilize it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I'll let him know that. Okay, and my daughter has, with that gentleman talking, has the centipede yard. Is it too late to fertilize it?
Yes, definitely. So
do not fertilize the centipede.
That's correct.
You are so good. God bless all of you. Have a fabulous week.
Thank you, Lucy. Too. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Folks, you're tuned into the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Stay tuned. We'll be right back for the second half. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
It is a beautiful Saturday, November the 2nd.
You said it right. It is beautiful.
It is bright. It is sunny. And if you like cold weather, by goodness, you got it. In the 30s this morning, frost on the rooftops everywhere I went.
I also had a look at the forecast for next weekend.
Yeah.
Frost, freezing.
Really?
The Midlands.
Mm. Good. It's about time for it to slow down, you know. It is November, folks. 'Tis the season. Right?
To be jolly.
Halloween is behind us. We didn't have many trick-or-treaters. How about you?
Thursday was so-so. Yeah, there was a lot of kids out last night.
Really?
Yeah. In our neighborhood.
Night? Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's November.
Yep.
Halloween's on the 31st of October, right?
I don't make the rules.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given them candy last night.
We didn't do anything last night. We did Thursday night.
I'd like, you know, here's a packet of salt I had left over from a to-go meal. You missed Halloween. I'm sorry. You know, I know it was raining and all, but yeah, you know.
It cleared up.
It did clear up. It got very windy. We sat outside. I had a little fire. Extremely windy.
It dropped quick.
Not a real fire. It was a propane fire.
Okay.
But it was wet enough after 5 inches of rain at the house. We could have had a real fire, but I didn't want to get blown in the face with smoke and embers.
Yeah.
You know, all night and keep moving my chair, playing musical chair. You know how that goes when you're around a campfire. So, you know, the weather has changed. There's no doubt about it. And it's about time. It's November the 1st. I mean, before you know it, I hate to say it, Thanksgiving will be here. Mm-hmm. I don't hate to say it. I love it.
Yes.
Thanksgiving week, fantastic. Nothing like turkey dressing, fresh collard greens. And we're finally getting frost to make the collard greens a little bit sweeter.
There you go. But
take
your big thing
out.
Is, yeah, you like Thanksgiving, but you go full-blown Griswold right after.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And start putting the trees up. And
but you don't do it as much as you used to, though,
mm-mm.
Do you?
I don't do as many as the tacky lights.
So if there was
anymore.
A power outage in the Pelham 85 area that was caused by the Grant household. back in the day.
Or if you know, you're on one leg like Rural Electric and you lose power and we don't because we're Duke, come camp out in my front yard. You can read a book, right? No, I don't do quite that anymore.
Put suntan lotion on.
The kids are older, two of them in college. You know, it's kind of lost its charm, I hate to say, for the time being.
No way.
Yeah, a little bit. But now I focus on the inside of the house.
Yeah.
You know, decorating the inside, the front porch, things of that nature. And preparing the menu for the holidays. That's my favorite part.
Yes.
Is having a nice printed menu and a very elaborate menu for the holidays. That's always fun. Just to see how crazy you can be. It's kind of like today. Tailgating. Shrimp and grits day, by the way.
Yes.
Ooh, shrimp and grits. Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines. Vicky and Easley. Well, before we go to Vicky, real quickly, because I forgot, I had this text. And hold on just 1 second, Vicky. I have chamber bitter invading my zoysia grass yard. Any pre-emergent that you recommend, I try next year. Thanks, Guy. You know, most of the conventional pre-emergents we think about, prodiamine, dimension, things of that nature, I don't think they're specifically labeled for chamber bitter because chamber bitter typically is not a weed that we typically think of being in lawns. Typically, it's in shrub beds and those areas. But I have seen over the last couple of years, we're seeing more and more and getting more and more complaints about chamber bitter in the lawns. The thing with chamber bitter, if when it begins to germinate, typically late May, okay, it's got to get really warm with soil temperatures. If you catch it in the first month and when it's very juvenile, it's pretty easy to clean up with a three-way broadleaf weed killer, okay, which are all of those are pretty much safe on zoysia. But if you want to go pre-emergent-wise and try that, the one thing I would, you know, Snapshot works great in your shrub beds, but it's not labeled for lawns, okay? So we got to sit there and look, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head, can we come up with something like Snapshot that's labeled for lawns? I really can't think of one off the top of my head. I'll keep doing a little bit of digging. What say you?
Yeah, I can't.
I have to keep doing a little bit of digging and just think about that. So, unfortunately, our pre-emergents that we typically use of their labor for lawns, it's just they don't get everything. And this is one of the weeds that it kind of skips. If I had to guess, though, if you wanted to try something, I'd probably suggest trying Dimension this spring instead of Barricade or Prodiamine. Because it seems to be a little bit stronger on the broadleaf weeds. Dimension does. Because we know it's much better on hairy bittercress than Prodiamine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the trade-off may be, like, Dimension is not going to be as long-lived in the soil. We get a wet summer. You may see that you get a little bit of bleed-through earlier. You may have some crabgrass issues late in the summer. So you may be trading one problem for the other. I'm of the take on something like chamber bitter. Typically, it's isolated in certain areas. I'm of the take, know where they are, get on it early with the post-emergent herbicide, and if you catch them when it's young and juvenile, one application should take care of it, right?
Yep.
So, all right, Scott, we're going to Vicky, who has found us at 1-800-347-1063, and as always, you can text us at 71307, but let's go talk with Vicky and Easley. Hello, Vicky, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vicky, and thank you for holding on so I could get to that text as well. I appreciate that.
No problem. My question is, we have kaleidoscopes in our front yard across in front of our porch, and I was wondering what is the best time to cut those back. They're a little taller than I want them to be, and they're also a mounding shrub, so I had a little trouble cutting them back the first time that I cut them back.
Yeah, and it's probably the Kaleidoscopabilia, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and more than likely it's the Kaleidoscopabilia. It's kind of a greenish, orangish.
Yellowish.
Yellowish leaf. It's a really interesting plant, really pretty plant, striking, stunning plant. The thing that I can think of is I think we're quickly approaching a time where it's appropriate to prune. I do feel like, and Vicky, you got to understand, the reason I know all this stuff, because I'm one of those that does everything out of season just to see what happens, or maybe it's because I procrastinate through the season.
Let's go with it.
Yeah.
Later.
Okay, he's going with the latter, Vicky. Scott thinks I procrastinate through the season, which is probably true. My only concern is if you went out and pruned them this weekend, I know it's getting cooler, but we still have some warm days coming. And my concern would be that you begin to flush out some growth and abelia. That new growth is very lush and it's very tender and can be very susceptible to a hard freeze. So I would wait probably till we get, you know, into, I'd say, mid-November or mid-December. I would give it through Thanksgiving. If you want to give them a little bit of a haircut, I think that's fine, just to shape them up before Thanksgiving holidays if you got family coming over. You could do a little bit of light shaping, and I think that's fine. But I think once we get to mid-December, we get into January, if you want to get in there with some hand pruners, because what you're talking about I think is very common on abelias, a lot of times we have a tendency to shear them and shear them and shear them and basically give them a haircut. Well, then we get this kind of thick, for lack of better terms, mop head, where we got this thick, lush growth just on the outside. You open that and part it with your hands and look inside, and everything's kind of brown because we're not getting sunlight to grow leaves. It sounds to me like you need to do some hand pruning and thinning of the plants. So if they've been in several years, I think this winter would be a good winter to do it. Take some small hand pruners, and you want to reach inside that plant and begin to thin it out a bit so that we can get a little bit more sunlight to penetrate inside the plant itself. Now, it may look a little naked and bare, you know, through the rest of the winter.
Definitely.
But in the spring, it's going to flush out with growth.
It's a fast-growing plant.
Yeah, very fast and very hardy plant. So my thoughts are, one, from a timing because of the weather, we need to wait till we get closer to Christmas and we know we've had multiple hard freezes. We know the plant's not going to sprout new buds because those new buds, if you did it now, you get some new buds going, we get that first freeze, it's going to blacken those new buds. It's going to kill that new growth. So my thoughts are, is due to weather and knowing that we have to wait longer, and also the fact that when you go in, it sounds like you need to prune these or thin these out, that they're going to look a little bare for a while. I think I would wait till we get through the holidays, if it were me, if it were my house. Because once I get past Christmas, nobody's, you know, you don't have many folks coming over. It's not like the Grant household has many friends anyway. But, you know, you don't have many folks coming over. You're not trying to make your landscape look its best at that point. You're trying to prepare it for spring and for the next summer.
Yeah.
So I think if you can get to Christmas, you know, maybe a light haircut now, leave them alone till Christmas, and then once the holidays are over with, get in there with some hand pruners and thin them out.
Okay. Thank you. That's really good information, and we enjoy your show every Saturday.
Well, Vicki, we appreciate you tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, Scott, it's going to be nice and sunny today. It's a good day to get out and work in your yard.
Are you going to work in your yard?
No. No. Not going to do that. I did.
You're dressed for it to work in the yard.
No. What? No.
You got your purple on.
Yeah, it's Military Appreciation Day.
It is.
So any day that a college, a university, or a college in today's world that wants to pay homage and recognize the military for what they have done and all the veterans and their service is a great day.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So, and I'm looking forward to the F-16 fighter jets. Supposedly they're flying over. Yeah, kind of cool, right? And the helicopters on the field and all that good stuff. I may act like a kid today and just go run through the They have them open for the kids to go through.
But they're coming from Shaw. Probably would be.
The F-16s? Mm-hmm. Yes, because, you know, we've done some business with Shaw Air Force Base over the years. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of business from time to time with different government agencies. And believe it or not, they need SOD too, right? And got a great tour of that facility several years ago and never knew this. It is the largest F-16 squadron, fighter squadron or base east of the Mississippi, is in South Carolina. I did not realize that.
It is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really awesome when you're out there with one of the lead guys on the project and you're right beside the runway and F-16s are touch and going all day long. I mean, it's like so close you could reach out and touch them. Like, man, that's awesome. Just the power that machine has is just phenomenal. But we digress. Let's talk about what's going on with you, Scott. You know,
not much.
Oh, wait a minute. We have a text. Someone found us. Will pansies survive if they are planted in large outdoor planter? Yes, they will. Now, here's the thing with pansies. If you're going to plant pansies for seasonal color for this winter, hopefully they're either in the ground now or you're going to plant them this weekend. The sooner you can plant the pansies so that they can begin to grow, get some root system going, the showier they're going to be, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
The showier they're going to be. But, yes, they're fine. If you want to plant a pansy in a pot, that's no problem.
So Harriet sent you a text?
Oh, and Harriet and Greer. Yeah. Man, I don't want to make people mad. She said,
go Tigers.
Yeah, and go all other teams.
For the state, yes.
That's right. Who else playing today? Do you know?
Yeah, the Citadel's playing today.
Yep. South Carolina's playing today, I believe.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, I think.
Okay.
That should be a good game. And Wofford.
To Wofford?
Yep.
And Furman's? I don't know who they're playing.
Yeah, I'm not real sure. Don't keep up with it much. Sorry. So, Scott, what's new?
Not much.
Huh?
Got a question. Well, I'll ask you here in a little bit.
Okay.
We got a phone call. That's
right. Oh, we got a phone call. Imagine that. Oh, we have Caroline and Greer. Hello, Caroline, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, Mills.
Hey, Caroline. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So you have a question.
Yes. Trying to keep some herbs alive indoors in the winter.
Indoors in the winter. Scott, you know a little bit more about grow lights than I know. But one thing that herbs need is they need pretty good sunlight.
Yes.
So bringing herbs indoors can be very challenging if you don't have really good light. But, Scott, you can buy bulbs that now are grow light, correct?
Yeah.
Or have the same spectrum as outdoor light.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to make sure that they're, if you can get them as close as you can to a southern exposure window. And the reason I say southern side of the house is because you get more sunlight for a longer time during the day, especially in the winter, and it's a little bit warmer. So if we can get those into the windowsill, that area, or if we could somehow or another get some type of grow light on those herbs, that's going to make a big difference. But typically herbs can be a little bit challenging indoors because of the light requirement. They require so much light.
But
Caroline, I think with you can be successful, but I think you're going to have to go to some type of grow light, which most of those now are low energy light sources. They don't cost a lot to run during the day. Really don't give off that much heat any longer. So a good grow light type bulb that has the spectrum of natural sunlight is what I would suggest. Especially, Scott, if you hadn't realized, I know Caroline. So.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
She's a good old Clinton native like myself, okay? And I know Caroline well. So and her two sons, by the way, hopefully they will do what's right today in y'all's tailgate. They should being both that are scouts in the troop, one a first-class scout, one a life scout, they should be able to set up the tailgate, cook all the food, clean up all the food, and tear down the tailgate.
If only.
If
only.
They have the tools. They have been taught.
I know.
And actually, they actually show us that they know how to do this. Our camping trip last weekend, Scott, her oldest son made dinner for everyone.
Really?
Yeah, in a Dutch oven. So
ooh.
I know he can cook.
He has promised to make it at home, and I'm going to hold him to that because that boy does not cook at home.
Yeah, I would hold him to it. So, but Caroline, with your house, the problem I think you're going to run into is y'all have a beautiful lot with a lot of trees, and you love the trees, especially 8 months out of the year because of their shade and a little bit cooler environment. I think the problem you're going to run into in your home, you want to go to the backside, like your den window that faces south. And that right there is going to help you. But you also, I think a grow light in your home is probably going to be needed to help keep these herbs, actively growing and healthy through the winter. But it can be done.
Yes.
It definitely can be done.
Awesome.
All right?
Thank you very much.
Y'all have a safe trip today.
Will do. You too.
All right. See
you. Sounds like you got a great menu today.
Hey, yes, I do. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Today is Caroline's referring to the world-famous Mills Grant Shrimp and Grits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You scared me last night when you said you were preparing it early.
Well, I just made the andouille sausage and gravy. I decided to do that this year early so that I can enjoy the beautiful day because it's going to be nice and sunny and enjoy the tailgate and not be slaving over camp stoves. So it's quite elaborate. That's what happens when you get some scouters involved in tailgates is we enjoy outdoor cooking. So nothing's off the menu. If you can think of it, we'll cook it outdoors. How about that?
Yep.
So that's always a thing.
So I got a question.
Yes.
So I had a phone call this week, and a big thing with these new Bermuda varieties that keep coming out. So somebody called the store, and then I went on the internet and looked at these other companies that produce sod or grow sod.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them say a shade tolerant Bermuda compared to more tolerant than Tifway?
Well, you know, you asked this question a while ago. What if Tifway 419 Bermuda is not shade tolerant at all? What does more shade tolerant really mean? And I think that's a very valid point. I'm of the belief there are a lot of different varieties of grass out there. We're one of them, Scott. We grow a lot of different varieties. But I'm of the belief that a few things have to happen. Number one, when we take on a new variety at the farm, a lot of times by the time a homeowner, our listener, hears about the variety or we sell them the variety, certainly when we sell it, but even before they hear about it, we've probably grown this variety very quietly at the farm for 2 or 3 years, okay? More than likely, that variety, once we get enough to harvest, although it's not enough to put into the market and sell, we may harvest a few pallets of this and take it to some select lawns. You know, I can think of some good friends of mine, the Cresses, great friends of ours we go to church with. They were one of the first lawns of Royal Zoysia in the upstate market. Before that was even mentioned on the radio show that, hey, we have Royal Zoysia, come look at this new variety, they had it in their yard for a year, year and a half prior to this because we want to put the grass in real-world environments. What I have seen out of Bermudas, because we get this question a lot, I have shade, so I want such and such Bermuda. What I have seen out of Bermudas, you can claim what you want to claim on paper. You can claim what you want to claim on the Internet because it's very easy to make those claims, okay? There's no governing body. You can say what you want to say about your product. But at the end of the day, Cynodon is the genus of Bermuda. A Bermuda is a Bermuda is a Bermuda is my mentality. That's my professional belief. Bermuda is Bermuda. Bermuda is not shade-tolerant grass, okay? Now, one variety may be a little bit better than the other short-term, but given 5 years growing side-by-side in the same amount of shade, and there's some studies like this that came out of Griffin, Georgia years ago, and I think it was Griffin, Georgia from UGA's research. Mm-hmm. Given 5 years, they all have the same turf density. Now, 419 may lose density in the first 2 years of growing, whereas, let's say, Tiff Grand, it may hold density longer. It may be 3 or 4 years before you see that turf density decline. But if you look at year five, they all seem to be the same. So to me, it's a short-term fix. If you have shade in your yard, to me, there's two options. Choose a Zoysia or choose St. Augustine. Okay, depending on where you live, your environment's going to tell you what you can grow. We talk about this a lot, you know, helping you choose the proper variety. And what I always tell folks, there's probably 2 or 3 varieties of grass which will grow in your yard. And we're talking warm season. We all know that fescue grows in shaded environments. But even fescue prefers full sun, okay? All grasses, all plants, remember this. Two things required, sunlight and water. Sunlight and water. Yeah, the nutrients, the nitrogen, the phosphorus, the potassium, the microelements. Yeah, all of that makes the plant better. But there are two basic things required to grow a plant. I don't care if it's grass. I don't care if it's tree. I don't care if it's a shrub. Sunlight and water. Okay? Water probably more abundance than sunlight for some species. But in all honesty, they kind of require the both, you know? So the point is, don't believe everything you see on the Internet. How many times do we have to say that? Especially in the gardening industry, in our industry, okay? The proof is in the pudding. What are your neighbors successful growing? What are the manufacturers, i.e. the sod farms like us, where do we have success? It's kind of like Tahoma 31. I said it on the air.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, new Bermuda grass, great Bermuda grass. I'm not going to sell it, even if they said, hey, we think it's more shade tolerant. No, it is bred from Oklahoma State. It was bred for improved cold tolerance. It's the most cold tolerant Bermuda grass out there today. It ranks number one in close mowing, okay? It's very limited. And now I said it, everybody's going to be calling the stores wanting it. Sorry, we're not going to have some for at least maybe midway through next growing season. We may get it. So, Scott, we're getting close. To the end, real quickly, hey guys, I overseeded my fescue lawn about a month ago. Can I apply broadleaf weed killer now? Are the temperatures too cool? Other problems. Thanks, Gary. If you have mowed it 2 or 3 times, I think you are safe to go ahead and apply a broadleaf weed killer according to label. Depending on what broadleafs you're going after, if they're perennial or they're winter annual broadleafs, which I doubt they are, but they're probably some perennial type, If they're annual broadleafs from the summer, they're going to die with the first freeze anyway. The broadleaf weed killers, if we get into the 60s and 70s during the day, can be effective. But here in the next couple of weeks, it's probably going to get to the point where the plant, even the broadleaf weeds, aren't going to grow much. So we'll just have to keep you in tune. But, yes, if you've mowed it a couple, three times, I think you're safe to go. Folks, you have been tuned into the Yard Pro Show today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. It has been an absolute delight to be here, has it not?
It has.
It should be a great week for gardening. We're finally getting some rain, cooler temperatures. Get out there, get the yard prepared. Okay, by this point, you should have your pre-emergent out, your fungicide out. But don't forget, those who have cool season grass, you need to reapply some fertilizer here before Thanksgiving. Please don't forget that. I know you did it when you seeded. About 6 weeks later, you need to put out another round of fertilizer, correct? Mm-hmm. Folks, if you'd like to find us during the week, it's very simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of the retail stores or one closest to you with all of our store hours and locations and maps. It has been a delight talking with you today. We hope you have a happy, happy, happy week gardening, and we'll talk to you next week.